Let's come now to Romans chapter 1. And we'll read again at the beginning of the chapter, where Paul writes to the church in Rome, "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Verse 4, "who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead." Well, over the last few weeks, as we've been studying the resurrection, I've looked particularly at the proofs of the resurrection, what you might call the evidence that the resurrection really did happen. I hope that the result of that has been for you, as it's been for me, a bolstering of your confidence that the resurrection really did happen, and that you can therefore with confidence live in the light of the resurrection and share the truth of the resurrection with others. We want to confidently believe it, as the apostles very clearly did. The resurrection happened. So what? So what? So many people would say, so what? Okay, even if the resurrection did happen, so what? And that's what I want to be answering over the next few weeks. The so what. When we've looked at the resurrection, we've seen that it was an incredibly important event for the apostles and the early church. It was like an earthquake. The resurrection of Jesus shook the world of the early church, shook the world of the apostles, shook their world to their foundations. They had to start rebuilding their lives. They had to start rebuilding the way they had understood life, the way they'd understood God, the way they'd understood the Messiah and his kingdom after the resurrection. So when we read about it 2,000 years later, for us it can be just like reading about an earthquake that happened a long time ago. We realize it was a very important event, but it's just interesting, but not really relevant for us today. If you are, though, reading about an earthquake that happened where you live, and you know that because that earthquake happened, that you live in an earthquake zone, and that means there's liable to be another earthquake or other earthquakes, then the earthquake that you hear about that happened in the past becomes very relevant, because you know there's more to come. You know that living in the earthquake zone, your life may be shaken just as the lives of people in the past may be shaken. What we're trying to say then is that the resurrection isn't just like an ancient earthquake that shook the world view of a certain group of people, but the resurrection is something that happened in our world, and because of that, our world is an earthquake zone. Our world is a place where resurrection happens. Our world is a world where, because the resurrection of Jesus happened, there's more to come. The shaking isn't over. It's very relevant to us that Jesus was raised from the dead. So we're going to be thinking about that relevance, all being well, and it'll take us up to and probably beyond Easter. Verse 4 tells us then that by the resurrection, Jesus is declared with power to be the Son of God through the Spirit of God. That's what it says. Through the Spirit of holiness, he was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Some people prefer the translation that he was appointed with power to be the Son of God. And if you may have a translation in front of you that says that, because that's possible as well. The idea then being that Jesus was the Son of God, but he was in weakness before the resurrection, and he was the Son of God in power after the resurrection. But we'll go with the NIV translation that I've got in front of me here, and I'm going to make 4 points out of it. 4 points from this verse, verse 4, about the resurrection and about why the resurrection is not only an ancient earthquake, it is also an earthquake that's very, very relevant to us today. We live in the earthquake zone. The first point is one you could easily overlook, but it's this. The resurrection tells us that God exists. The resurrection tells us that there is a God. Resurrection is proof of the existence of God. Because if there isn't a God, the resurrection couldn't have happened. Because no one else does resurrection. There isn't anyone else out there to raise the dead except God. Jesus was raised from the dead, we've seen that clearly. And therefore, there is a God. There's a God who's at work in the world, and the God who is at work in the world is the kind of God who raises the dead. And he's doing things in this world. He's got a purpose in this world. He very purposefully raised Jesus from the dead, and he's carrying out his purpose still. And we have to ask ourselves, are we on board with that purpose? The purpose of God. Because he's doing things. He's the God who lives, and he's shown he lives by raising his Son from the dead. He's doing things. Are we involved in what he's doing? Because the resurrection tells us there is a God who raises the dead, it tells us that when we speak to this God, when we pray to this God, we are not praying to a God who is distant, detached, and uninvolved. We're praying to a God who intervenes. We're praying to a God who intervenes powerfully in this world. So when we ourselves face challenges, when we ourselves face even deadly peril, we can pray to a God who raises the dead. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, speaks about this. He says, we must not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. That's what he says. And he speaks of himself. He says, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. So what Paul is saying, look, we're in deadly peril, and we'd be dead long ago, but God keeps delivering us, because he's the God who raised Jesus from the dead. He raised Jesus out of the dead, so whenever we are in deadly peril, we come to the God who raises the dead, and he keeps doing it for us. He keeps bringing us back from death. He keeps bringing us back from the certain demise of our lives through the kind of dangers that we face. As you pray for us, says Paul, you're asking the God who raises the dead, a God who exists, and we know he exists because he raised Jesus, and because he raised Jesus, he's the kind of God who raises the dead. That's the kind of God we pray to. So when we're in deadly peril, we can ask him to come along and save us and deliver us. As we pray, he delivers. That's the kind of confidence we should have in prayer, as we call on God. And the resurrection tells us that. The second thing is that we can see is that the resurrection is not God reversing a failure. It's God declaring a victory. Now, I think it's easy to think of the resurrection as God coming along and saying, well, oh no, they mistakenly killed my son. I better raise him up again and make him alive, because they made a terrible mistake killing him. The resurrection tells us that God is not reversing a failure, but he's declaring a victory. declaring the victory of all that Jesus said and did, including his death on the cross. Now, it is important to know that the person God raised from the dead was Jesus. God didn't just step into the first century and say, well, let's have a wee look through the tombs here and have a wee think about who we're going to raise from the dead. Just, we want to make the world be shaken a bit and wake up a bit, so let's raise someone from the dead and do it. It's not like that. God raised Jesus. And that's really, really important to recognize. He raised Jesus. And in raising Jesus, he is telling us something about what he thought about Jesus. He's telling us that Jesus pleased him. He's telling us that Jesus, in what he said and in what he did right and spoke right. God agrees with Jesus. The resurrection tells us that. Now, of course, the authorities did not agree with Jesus. We read in Mark chapter 14, the high priest at Jesus' trial questioning Jesus, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus says, "I am. I am the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One." And the high priest, it says, tore his clothes. "Why do we need any more witnesses?" he asked. "You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" It says they all condemned him as worthy of death. So, if Jesus is raised up by God, God is saying it wasn't blasphemy for Jesus to say he is God's son. God is saying, instead, it's right. He really is God's son. He is vindicating Jesus, and he is also condemning the high priest, and he is condemning anyone who denies Jesus today. Because as verse 4 says, Jesus, by the resurrection, is declared Son of God. Because he is. He is the Son, and if you say he's not the Son, and if anyone says he's not the Son, even if the high priest says that, they're wrong. God raised up Jesus to say, do you see what he's doing? Do you see what he said? Do you see that he died on that cross? It's all right. Everything that Jesus is and does is right. I'm vindicating it. I'm declaring it to be true. So if Jesus said that he is the Son of God to the high priest, he is the Son of God. If Jesus said that he would die on a cross, as he did, to give his life as a ransom for many, then that's what he did. His death on the cross was his giving his life as a ransom for many. If Jesus said in his famous I Am sayings, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, I am the way and the truth and the life, then Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The resurrection is God saying, I'm saying that Jesus said only the truth about himself and about everything else, and that everything he did was right, and that he did indeed give his life as a ransom for many, and that he is indeed the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and life. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is my Son. The resurrection is God saying it's all true. The resurrection, then, is not God reversing a mistake, but it's God crowning Jesus' life with victory. Everything has been right and good and true. Now you'll see why, over the last few weeks, I have labored to show the evidence for the resurrection. It's because it's so important. Everything hangs on it. The resurrection didn't happen. Then you can readily conclude there is no God, and you can readily conclude that Jesus is just another guy who got it wrong. But if the resurrection did happen, then it tells us there is a God, And it tells us that Jesus is his son. The resurrection, as verse 4, declares him with power to be the son. And it tells us that everything Jesus said about himself is true. And that therefore we need to sit up and take notice. He's the Son of God. He's the Saviour. The resurrection is telling us that. We can't avoid that conclusion. Here's a third point. The resurrection doesn't bring Jesus back to life. The resurrection moves Jesus on to a new life. It doesn't bring him back to life. It moves him on. Verse 4, he's declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection. There's a new power in the resurrection. See, the resurrection isn't a resuscitation. It's not like what Jesus did to Lazarus. Jesus raised Lazarus out of the tomb. Lazarus comes out and he gets old and he dies again. That's a resuscitation. Jesus isn't resuscitated. Jesus is raised. He's resurrected. And that means that he's raised with a body that is now going to live forever. The body of Jesus of Nazareth was raised up with new qualities that would enable it not any longer to decay or age, but to live forever, to have qualities for living in the very presence of God. So Jesus, who claimed to be the Son of God and the Lord, was raised to life to live forever as our Lord and as God's Son. As the end of verse 4 says, the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. He remains that because he's raised to a new quality of life, a life that is forever. So the future, and our future, is a future with Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus Christ as Lord is not a declaration of something that was true, but is no longer true. Jesus Christ as Lord is a declaration of something that will always be true. Now, this is where religion and politics get mixed up. You say, well, what's this got to do with politics? Well, it's got absolutely everything to do with politics. Why? Well, because Paul is writing to Rome. So who lives in Rome? Well, Nero, the Roman Emperor, lives in Rome as Paul writes this letter. Who's Nero? Well, Nero is declared to be a son of a god. And he is declared to be the Lord. That's what was said about the Roman emperors. Many of them were considered to be gods, sons of gods and lords. Now Nero committed suicide. He's still dead. Still dead. God did not recognize that what Nero proclaimed about himself and what others proclaimed about Nero was true. If Nero was a son of God and he was the Lord, he might well have been the one who was raised up. But it wasn't Nero who was raised up. It was Jesus who was raised up. Jesus was proclaimed Son of God and Lord. He was raised up. The Romans didn't recognize that, though. The Romans had Jesus executed. Remember? That's why Pilate executed Jesus. Pilate wasn't interested in the Son of God stuff because that seemed very theological to him and Jewish. But when the chief priest reminded Pilate, he says he's the Lord. Pilate said, whoa, I can't have that because Nero's the Lord, or it wasn't Nero back in Pilate's day, but the emperor is the Lord. And Jesus can't therefore be Lord. It's a political statement, and it can't be let to pass because there's only one Lord, and that's Nero. Well, the resurrection is telling us, no, Nero isn't Lord, or any of the other emperors that came, Julius Augustus, Tiberius, Caligula, Claudius, none of these are lords. Jesus is Lord. And it's because Christians believe that the Roman Empire persecuted Christians, because they had already got a Lord, and that Lord was Caesar. We're not in any different position today. There is only one Lord in this earth, And it's the one that God has raised from the dead. There have been lots of others who've declared themselves as Lord, and they've died and they stayed there, dead. God didn't raise them because they weren't lords. The only Lord is Jesus. Jesus Christ is, by the resurrection, declared with power to be the Son of God. Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what verse 4 says. So no one in our lives can take his place. We can't have any other lords in our lives. No one can take his place. We can't let anyone have that position in our lives. However important they may be, however influential they may be, it might be some presidential figure, it might be some boss, or some influential media person. Whoever it is, no one is Lord. You give your conscience to no one but to Jesus. Jesus Christ is the eternal Lord, and the resurrection is telling us that. So if we come into conflict between other would-be lords and Jesus, we know whom we have to obey and follow. It's Jesus, because only Jesus is Lord. And if we want to know why we believe that, we go back to the resurrection. Jesus said he was Lord. God raised him from the dead to show that he really is. Through the resurrection, he is declared with power to be Son of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, finally, we've got to see as well that the resurrection is not the end of the story. It's just the beginning. The resurrection, as verse 4 says, declares Jesus to be the Son of God in power according to or through the Spirit of holiness. The Spirit of God is at work in this resurrection story. What's the Spirit of God doing at the resurrection or through the resurrection? Well, the Spirit of God is giving us a message. The Spirit of God, through the resurrection, is saying to the church, right, now I'm equipping you with a message which I'm going to enable you to declare to the world that Jesus Christ is God's Son and is Lord. And the Spirit of God wants Jesus to be declared Son of God with power by the resurrection in the world. Because a declaration is not something that's made privately. It's not something that's made with no one to listen to it. The declaration in verse 4 is something that is made for the world's benefit. Jesus was raised in the world from the dead to be Lord of the world. The earthquake that was is telling us that we're living in the earthquake zone. And if we live in an earthquake zone, we need to know we're living in an earthquake zone. We need to know that there's more to come. So the Spirit of God is at work. He was at work before the resurrection. Verse 2 tells us that the gospel was promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. We sang from Psalm 16, the Spirit of God through David was proclaiming the gospel beforehand through David as a prophet. Jesus himself as a prophet, by the Spirit of God, promised his resurrection. He said, destroy this temple of my body and in 3 days I will raise it up. He said that he must suffer and die at the hands of the chief priests and after 3 days rise again. Well, the Holy Spirit proclaimed that beforehand, but once Jesus had been raised from the dead, the Spirit began to proclaim that resurrection and that belief that Jesus therefore is the Son of God and the Lord through the apostles, so that people could believe. And so verse 5, through Christ and for his name's sake, Paul says, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among the Gentiles, among all the Gentiles, to the obedience that comes from faith. Paul's saying, we're going out to people who've never heard of Jesus, these Gentiles, who've never heard of Jesus Christ. And we're telling them, folks, there's been an earthquake and you're living in the earthquake zone and there's another earthquake coming. The earthquake is that God has raised up Jesus from the dead. And who is Jesus? Well, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God and the Lord. And God's raised him from the dead. Therefore, he is the Son of God and the Lord. And it's time for you to start recognizing his lordship. And that process has been going on ever since. But the church in the world has been declaring Jesus raised from the day of Pentecost onwards. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. And ever since, the church has been, through the Spirit of holiness, declaring with power that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the Son of God, proved by his resurrection from the dead. And so that's our business today. The business of the church is to tell the world that the resurrection has happened, and therefore Jesus is Lord. It's our job. It's our job here, this group here. It's the job of the Christians in Plockton to tell Plockton that God has raised his Son from the dead, and therefore Jesus is his Son, and he is Lord. It's our privilege to do that. Our privilege to tell him, look, you live in an earthquake zone. You can't expect to think that you've heard the last of Jesus. You can't expect to think that death is going to have the last word, because God has raised Jesus, his Son, from the dead. So we call people to faith. You are called to faith. You're called to believe it and to obey Jesus. That's what verse 5 says. We're calling people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And it's faith in the resurrection that Jesus is the Son of God, declared with power to be the Son of God and the Lord by the resurrection from the dead. So people need to know. They need to know, just like people need to know if they're living in an earthquake zone, so that they can take precautions against the next earthquake. Well, there's an earthquake coming. God is once more going to shake heaven and earth, he tells us. And that is going to happen when the Son whom he raised from the dead, who is the Lord of the world, returns. And as he said himself, the time is coming when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Some will be raised up to the resurrection of eternal life, Jesus said. Some will be raised up to the resurrection of condemnation. And because of that, people need to hear that they're living in the earthquake zone. They're living in a world of resurrection, where God has raised up Jesus because he is what he said he was, the Son of God and the Lord. And therefore, we know that we're not finished with him. There's more earthquake to come. And so let's tell people, let's live out this faith ourselves, and let's tell others, Jesus Christ is Lord. And we know because God raised him from the dead. Amen.